Anywho, it got me thinking. I know he's out east on Long Island these days, and he fosters the cutest fucking dogs. He's also a hot older man. He also said he doesn't want to live with his partner, just like Ashley. Bottom line, you guys should fuck.
Wait, when did she send this to you?
Girl, this week.
Welcome to Burning Hell.
Okay, guys, we have a returning fire flames guest in hell today. Ashley Heseltine from Girls Gotta Eat, stand-up comic, overall badass bitch, one of my favorite people in the world. Welcome back to hell.
Oh my God, I'm so glad to be here for, like, I have not stood up and done comedy in quite some time, but I still appreciate the intro. I love that we've already just been talking shit for 20 minutes. Like,
you got to get like the real dirty stuff out in the beginning just to butter us up. And now we're ready to go. We became kind of stand up buddies in the stand up scene. Like, not that many people were like doing the social media thing and the podcast thing. I felt like we were kind of the horse girls of the comedy scene. Like, people were like, I guess it's cool, but it's kind of weird.
I am so offended by being called a horse girl of comedy, but like, I'll take it. I get where you were going with it.
You're like, insult yourself. Don't bring me into it.
Yeah. I don't know about you, but no. Yeah. We had like so much fun. I miss it every day. It was such a bummer.
I know. So how are you keeping up with like staying motivated, your work, staying funny without crying? Like, what are you doing creatively right now?
I cry a lot. No, I mean, we have been doing the podcast obviously throughout quarantine. I mean, the upside is that it taught us, we had to learn how to do virtual. We hadn't ever really done that before. So now
you guys are technicians now.
We really mastered it because we were apart. Rain and I were apart for 3 months. Yeah. I mean, we did a lot of projects. We just like kept busy. We like redid our website, our whole branding and our merch, and we have been doing virtual shows.
Hell yeah.
So, and you know, they're pretty great. You get to reach more people. And, but yeah, I mean, I have days where I'm just like, I can't do anything, like this sucks, but I'm feeling like sort of hopeful. My parents are vaccinated, you know.
Oh, hell yeah. Like,
we're on the right track. So, but yeah, I mean, we were lucky to keep our jobs and keep our enough of our income, you know, to keep it going. And so that was good. We felt really lucky for that. But yeah, I mean, we just kind of content wise, I mean, you know, we have a lot of years of like stories to tell. And then I dated a decent amount, like through the kind of like, once I got back into the city, yeah, like late summer, well, more like fall, I was like really going, I went on a lot of like first dates, outside dates, you know.
Were you doing FaceTime dates?
No, I know. I mean, I was going on like real dates, like, at, you know, sitting outside.
Do you feel like it's because you finally felt like you had time to like get to know people? Because you guys were traveling so much when you were touring.
Yeah. And I also just felt like people that were back in the city were like desperate for interaction. Mm-hmm. Like, so many people left the city. So I felt like, I mean, mainly just on a Hinge basically. So I just felt like the people that were in the city and on the dating apps wanted to date. Like I had like 100% like return rate of like guys that like I was interested in going out with and actually going out with them. Like, I just feel like people were less flaky. Like, what are they going to do? They're not traveling. They're not going out to party. Like, all they can do is like meet you on a patio.
They're not like, oh, I have to get into an elevator. Bitch, there's no elevators happening. No one's going anywhere.
Right. So like, it was, everybody was pretty reliable. I mean, unless they like got COVID, like they were just like showing up. So I went on a decent amount of dates. And so for content, and then I just went on one like really, really like cold outside date, like the last one. And I was like, I'm done till April. Like, I can't live like this.
You're like a squirrel. It's like, it's time to get your acorns and go into the tree.
Like, when I found myself out with this guy drinking hot sake out of a plastic cup on the street, I was like, we're done. I felt like I was at Fire Festival. I was in a tent. I was like, I can't do this.
So did you learn anything from your COVID dating spree? I feel like you're on your own, like, cold bachelor.
No, just like I said at the beginning of the year, I was going to try to date like guys closer to my age that are like 10 years younger. And then like, that was my resolution. And then hot sake guy was 39 and I didn't, it was like, I think I'm going to go back. To you were like, guys, I've been like DMing with this like young guy. It's like, that's all I got going on right now.
Well, you're like me. We love a shallow moment and a sexy man personality. Who cares when you just get to look at him for a bit and then you're going to get bored regardless in 3 months. So it might as well be a handsome man. I'm delving into older men recently and I cannot.
You like nailed it. I mean, I love your relationship. I think about it all the time.
Are you serious? It's so funny because I don't talk about it ever because I'm not allowed to. And I really want to gush with my friends, but like I never gush, whatever. Wait, I forgot that you met him on our live show and he loved you.
Yeah, and I just feel like, I have an email I want to read you that I got from a listener of ours. So like, I'll get to it. But I just feel like, you know, we saw what you've kind of gone through with your dating life on the show. And I just feel like you found this great guy that it seems to me, I could be wrong. I'm not in there in your home with you and him, but like, it just seems easy. It seems like you both really like each other. You're both really proud of each other. It just seems like it's what relationships should be. Oh God, like, is that accurate?
You're going to make me cry. I do feel like from everyone I've dated, I've learned things that I really like. And I've learned things that I'm like, oh, I cannot tolerate that. Like, I can't survive these certain qualities. So in him, it was weird because he has so many qualities that I've like learned that I like. And then the stuff that annoys us about each other is like so easy. Like, it's really like, it's almost adorable. I'm like, okay, you wake up really fucking early. And I hate it, but it's like, you're cute. Like, you want to wake me up in the morning. If you weren't hot, I would get upset, but I can tolerate this.
Did you date older guys before? Or is he like the first one?
It's funny. The oldest guy I dated was when I was 25. I dated a 36-year-old. But he was emotionally definitely stunted from the weed.
No brain cells left on that one.
But Dez is by far the oldest guy I've ever dated. I didn't even know, like, I've never been like into silver foxes. Like, it's not like my thing. It was just like two souls who were like, we love each other.
I know, like, I can feel it.
People also say he's definitely like the guy version of me, which is weird because I don't think that's a good idea to have like someone who's so similar, but it's like we're different enough but just have the same sense of humor in a lot of ways.
I love that, by the way. Like, I saw that like Francis and Julio posed this question on Instagram from their podcast, and it said something like that, like, would you date the opposite sex version of you? And I'm like, hell yeah. Maybe I just love myself a little too much. But I was like, yeah, I was looking for that guy.
Well, they definitely like, they see, if they're confident in themselves, they'll see things about you that they like in themselves. And we're just very goofy. And it's funny because I was telling him, I'm like, what's your love language? And he's like, I'm not playing this stupid game with you. And I'm like, no, what's your love language? And he's like laughing. And I'm like, that's not what the love language is. And he's like, no, but it's like laughing at the same time with you.
Yes.
And oh when God. I make him laugh, it makes me feel so, so good. And then he also like, yeah, he jokes. He was like, I was a fuckboy before it was called a fuckboy. He's like, I missed that. Thank God. But he got out a lot of things and he learned a lot in his life. Part of me is almost sad that I didn't get to experience some of the things with him because he's 45. But then it's also like that all made him the person that I like fell in love with today.
100%. Yeah. I mean, he will die soon.
Yes.
But like, you'll have him for a couple of years.
I did an article with, we're the same. He sends dark sense of humor. I did an article with Us Weekly and she was like, so you're dating a guy who's 45. What is that like? And I just looked at her and I was like, I'm worried every day he's going to die. Every day.
No, he's on the way out.
And the headline was, Hannah's worried her boyfriend's going to die.
I saw it. I saw you right before we started. We were talking about people taking things out of context. I saw that headline, Hannah, and I knew exactly what you said. You're a fucking comedian, of course.
Because she was acting like it was this crazy thing. I'm like, also, bitch, I'm about to turn 30. Like, I'm not 18 fucking a 62-year-old. Like, let's just calm it down for a second. Like, 15 years is not that crazy. There's also a ton of like 22-year-old girls always dating guys in their 30s. Like, calm it down. But yeah, I was like, he's going to die any second and it's scary. So they took that and ran with it. And then
of course.
He posted prenup alert.
Listen, I saw it. I'm laughing, but I already seen it. Okay. So we can wrap up the Dez convo. And I know this is your podcast, but I do need to read you this email I got. I was debating. I was like, how would I feel? It's not bad or anything. Like, it's not like outing him for anything. I asked Raina. I was like, do you think Hannah's got like such a great sense of humor? Like, she'll think this is funny, right? Because I was like, what if someone sent this to me? But listen, I'm just going to read it to you. Okay.
Just do it. Just rip the Band-Aid off.
The subject line is Ash and Des Bishop. So this was to our Girls Gotta Eat email on like our submission form. So Raina saw it too. She wrote kind of like she started out with talking about my dog that just passed. She was like really sweet, whatever. And then she goes, but the real tea of this email is Ash said she turned to her Peloton to help her handle grief. And it reminded me of Des Bishop's live show here in Ireland. Aww. I'm a New York gal living in Cork City, Ireland. And Des was on an Irish tour with his new special about his mom. And after a really sweet and dark humored set, he finished while cycling on the Peloton. So good. Anywho, it got me thinking. I know he's out east on Long Island these days, and he fosters the cutest fucking dogs. He's also a hot older man. He also said he doesn't want to live with his partner, just like Ashley. Bottom line, you guys should fuck.
Wait, when did she send this to you?
Girl, this week.
But what's making me laugh so hard is that she's right. Like, she's right. She nailed it. Like, I mean, I think that you and I are very similar, and like it could have been either one of us, to be honest.
It could have been me. I know. Well, it's funny because I was like, I sent it to Raina. I'm like, that's my friend's boyfriend, but go off, sis. Like, I was just laughing so hard. Well, and then I was just like, she probably just, you guys don't post each other a ton. No. You know what I mean? Like, she probably just missed the post of you. He posts you. He's not keeping you in the dark.
But it's so funny because how it happened was I was literally, yeah, out east, and he was like, let's get coffee. And in my head, I was like, if it's not flirty, like, at least he's such an interesting person. Like, he speaks three languages, and he's been in the comedy game for so long. We know all the same people. Like, at least I'll get some socializing during, it was like intense quarantine at that time. But yeah, you were on the live show, and you and him clearly hit it off, and afterwards he's like, I want to ask Ashley to be on my podcast. And I was like, she's very busy and she's going on my podcast.
Would love to, honestly. I just shout out to that girl for that email, because I was like, she gets it.
He has the hottest brothers. Like, the three of them together are just like,
what's the deal with them? Are any
single? One of them is married with children. The other one is like dating a girl in Ireland, but I'll keep you posted.
Yeah, let me know.
I'll keep you posted. I love an older man. The thing is, this is how me and you are similar. We do love a relationship where you're with a younger guy or like a dumb hot model, and you feel like you're in control, because you're like, you're not going to hurt me. I'm not going to marry you. So you have this emotional wall up. So it's actually like kind of putting up a wall and not being vulnerable in a way, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just, age is just like, there's 45-year-old guys that we would never date. They would feel really old. Mm-hmm. And like, it's about energy. I mean, looks too, but like, I think I gravitate towards younger guys because of the energy. I think I have young energy. Like, we have these, like, our listeners keep me young, but like, it's just kind of, even when I met up with that guy that was 39, I was like, ugh, I just don't like his energy. Like, he just feels old. But like, it doesn't matter. He compliments you. He is like a younger, to me, I think that's what I pick up on.
The only problem with your stuff is your career is very successful. So if you're going to be with one of those younger guys, they need to be very confident.
I know.
In their own shit. I'm not saying they have to be more successful with you. They have to be comfortable with that. And
yeah, it's hard to find.
It's hard to find to. And it's hard because, you never want to dim your light. Never dim your light ever. You want a guy who's like, I'll wear shades, you go as bright as you can, and I will help you. And sometimes older guys who have like accomplished stuff already are very like, Des is like, look, I'll take care of the kids, stay home, play golf. Like, you go do whatever the fuck you want. And I'm like, that's my dream. That's my dream.
Well, and that's, you guys are, it's ultimately even about just different place in life. So whether they're older, and then some people do like the younger thing because they're not competing. Like, I felt like I'd date a guy that was a comic, and you know, it didn't go too far, but I just felt like we would never really be competitive because we weren't even on the same level. As like, it's almost opposite with Des. He's just like, he's done it all, he's been there, he's done that. It's like, the worst is when you're just kind of the same and you're in the same space. You're like, I feel like people can say all day, I'm not competitive, but it's like, if you're going after the same stuff, you are. It's just what it is.
And he also, like we teach each other a lot. Like he loves learning about like the marketing of stuff or like sending gifts over text.
He's that weird generation that no one cares about. He's like Gen X or whatever. Like no one gives a shit. Everyone, it's like millennials, Gen Z, and then boomers. And then he's then there's Dez, and then no one cares about them.
We were just talking about this morning. Who was it? Amy Poehler did a funny article about it, and it was like people love shitting on baby boomers, but like Gen X is just not a thing.
They're just there.
They're just there.
They're the forgotten generation.
Forgotten generation. But also, how has sex with younger guys been for you?
Pretty good across the board, actually. Like I made that weird sound, but it's because I was remembering it and just getting like horny again. Yeah, I've had like really good luck. I don't know. I just, most of the guys I've slept with, you know, the last three or four guys have been like significantly younger, like 8 to 10 years younger. Yeah. And they just have known what they were doing. Like one guy was just like the best dirty talk ever. Another guy was just like so good at like going down on me. Mm-hmm. And then the last guy I slept with was just really great all around. I don't know.
Do you feel like they try hard to impress you because they have so much respect for you?
Maybe, but also like,
and they know you're gonna talk shit about them in a pod if they don't.
Probably, but also I think they've had like, there's a fine line of them growing up with way more porn, for one. True. Like there's a fine line where it's like, oh wow, okay, you know, I didn't ask to be choked out, you know, that's like kind of weird, you saw that in some porn. But then there's also that like they've seen more, they've been a little more exposed, like they can get a little freakier.
You're not going for any young guy, you're going for young guys with swag. Like you see guys who carry themselves a type of way and you know that,
yeah,
you're going for them.
Yeah. Even like the really skinny guy I fucked, like when Rain and I were fucking these skinny guys, that was summer 2019. But like they were friends. They lived together. They didn't eat. So we like they were so good at sex. It was so crazy. But it was like physically painful. Like
skinny guys have the biggest dick.
They had the biggest dicks. And like they both really knew what they were doing. I feel like they had like read some books or something and they were like so good in bed.
You're like, they know things. They've read something.
Yeah. They've been like watching tutorials, but it was just, yeah. Like his hip bones would like dig into my thighs. It was physically uncomfortable, but like, you know,
you could like jerk off on his hip bone. That could be hot. Sorry. I'm just getting excited. I want to do a quick game with you of heaven or hell, okay, because it's time.
Heaven or hell.
Heaven or hell. Doing TikToks.
I mean, I've never really, like, hell. I mean, I like watching TikToks, but doing TikToks. I did one time, like, I saw people doing it. It was like a plank and it would be like right foot, now left foot, right foot, now left foot. And I did it. It took me like an hour. I was sweating. Like I was like, oh shit, this is like the new workout. And then I just never posted it. Like, I'm just not, I've never really done one. I had so many good ideas like during the like main part of the quarantine when I was at my parents. Yeah. I was like gonna get the ring light out and like try to like do the savage dance. I just never did. It's not,
or like even
me.
Throw dad involved. Yeah.
You and your parents, geez, that was like so impressive.
Oh my god, thank you. We had like full family fights to do it. Like my dad quit multiple times. He's like, I don't want to do it. And we'd be like, it's not that hard. Like it was, the behind the scenes was funnier than the actual TikTok. And then he almost sprained his hamstring, which was the best part. It's so funny, the TikTok dances are so fucking hard. Maybe it's because I was never a dancer growing up, but I'll literally look at it and I'll be like, I can do that. And then I will try twice and be like, not doing that. I've never even put in a full effort to do it, or I'll do a joke one. But it's like,
but it's better. Like I don't like, I mean, just for example, that was so long ago now at this point, but just the savage thing, it was like once you've seen one, you've kind of seen them all. Like I like your content way better.
I don't fully understand the TikTok, like everyone jumps on something and like copies a funny idea. Like there's like no original ideas, or like one person thinks of something funny and then everyone has to do it with like a different makeup face on.
And then there's like somebody's like 2 weeks late and you're like, that's so embarrassing.
I'm so embarrassed for you. Also, I just posted about how like, remember as kids, like we didn't have to, I said kids had to like put a cool background to their MySpace, or like you'd get like a bunch of Beanie Babies and you were like kind of cool. You have to memorize 4,000 dances now to be cool. Yeah, exactly. Like we're like, oh, we don't do the dances. If we were 15 right now, I'd be like, you don't know Savage,
right? And it's like, this is maybe if their grades are failing, like this is why. Like your parents are just like, we know you're just in your room doing TikToks, like you're not studying.
And it's like, maybe it'll have a really good generation of like video editors, but still, I don't know. MySpace, we were coding for a second. but,
but also we really did learn HTML.
We did learn HTML, and also we ranked our friends. Like that is why I have anxiety now. Like that is why burning in hell is a thing. Like that is fucked up. Like it's fucked up. Kids are growing up on FaceTime right now. I mean, with Facetune, that's really fucked up. But like, remember, like you get in a fight with your friend and be like, from 2 to 6, deal with it.
Or you knock them out completely. Sorry, you're not in the top 8 anymore. Like, ouch. And I would check.
You had a crush on a guy and you just like, you never talked to him, but he's in your top 8.
It's like a DM slide of our times.
Yes. I was wild on AIM though. Wild. I would have the guy I have a crush on, then have like 7 other conversations with my girls. And then I would just be copying and pasting like crazy to be like, what should I say?
It's dangerous.
Always copying and pasting into the guy's thing. And I'd be like, oh my God, my computer broke. Have to get off, get all excited, get back on, be like, I'm so sorry about that. So weird. I fucked up all the time. I blatantly remember a guy being like, hey, do you do MJ? And literally had no idea what that meant. To this day, I was like, Michael Jordan? Ask all my friends. Like, we don't know.
What is it? It's drugs?
Apparently it's marijuana.
Oh, Mary Jane? That's like what our parents would call
a drug. Yeah, that was so weird. And then I was like, I'm a fucking loser. He's never going to talk to me again. I'm like, also, I cry when I smoke weed.
You're like, can I moonwalk or what? I don't get it. Can I do the Thriller dance? Totally.
Okay, next. Heaven or hell, putting on makeup.
Ugh. I like heaven putting on makeup, hell taking it off. I really like to put makeup on and like have the opportunity to do it, but like taking it off is, that's hell.
Your eyebrows look good right now. Are you doing anything new?
Thank you. I do a little Anastasia brow pencil, but I got them threaded for the first time in a year recently. Like, I mean, it was the first time since we like went into quarantine.
I
went down to FIDI. I wanted to die. I was like, I hate it down here. It was snowing. I was in FIDI. I was like, I'm lost.
I just like can't. Angry finance guys walking around, or I don't even know anymore because I've not been to FIDI.
It was weird, but that's where my eyebrow threader went, so I followed.
I don't know if you know this about yourself, but you're kind of like a jumpsuit icon.
Oh my God.
Okay, so heaven or hell, finding the most incredible jumpsuit you've ever worn, but like you broke the seal and are gonna have to pee multiple times that night.
Oh my God. Ugh. I mean, that is hell. It just, if it's, especially if it's one that you need help getting in and out of. Like, I had one that had a button that my friend had to do, and like we did go out and get drunk one night and she was just in the bathroom with me all night.
She just became a button attendant. Yeah.
But some of them are just really, I like this one designer. I've like gotten stuff off Rent the Runway and it's just like made of this really, there's no buttons, zippers, anything. It's just like a wetsuit.
Oh, wow.
Like it sucks you in. Every time I put it on, I'm like, who is she? But it just comes right down and pops right back up. So that's no big deal.
I love that. I feel like whenever I'm performing, everything is I get like bathroom anxiety. Like I'm always like, do I have to pee? Like random moments that I don't have to pee, I'm like, do you have to pee? Because God forbid you get on stage and you have to pee. That's like my biggest nightmare. So I will pee like 10 times before going on stage.
Yeah. And right before, like that minute before where you're like, I have to go one last time. Like I just don't know. And then, but then you really don't. Like,
you don't.
Like the craziest thing that happened to us was this was our very first like holiday show in 2018 at the Gramercy Theater. Mm-hmm. Night one, we did 2 shows and something happened. They started the show. It's such a long story. Bottom line, I was taking a shit and I heard our music playing. I'm not kidding you. We had a dance opener. They fucked it up. We didn't tell them to go ahead, but like there was this other person that was part of our show that like somehow it's not important. I'm not going to drag him, but this one guy did ruin it. But anyway, so they start the show without us. Like Raina was in the green room. I was taking a literal shit in a gown and I heard Jingle Bell Rock playing and I'm like, no, 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 no. So I just dropped the gown and Raina, she's in the green room. It wasn't like a messy one, but I just had to go. I was like, this is going to like ruin the show. Yeah. I was like, Raina, they're starting. We had to go upstairs. Raina doesn't, you know, she didn't used to work out. She could barely get up these stairs. We're wearing like stiletto heels.
Pre-workout, Raina.
running up these stairs, and I was like, is she gonna make it? Like, I remember looking behind me very like
she's
Titanic,
like,
is she gonna make it?
We
cut the way it's set up, like we had to go come up from the like bottom level where there's girls in the lobby. I body checked a fan and we just ran in the back.
This is what happens when you do theaters.
it was insane. And we like with the whole thing was that we the opened with Jingle Bell Rock, and then we were gonna come in the back. It's from Mean Girls, and we were gonna come in the back singing like What a Bright Time, and we are out of breath trying to sing, and we just walked in. I'm like, I have skid marks in this gown, and we were sweating. It was the worst time. Like, we got up on stage and I was like, I just feel like I have to tell the crowd what happened. Yeah. And of course I'd like take the gown. I was like, we had another show the next night. I was like, I need another gown. I don't want to talk about it. Just like, you know.
Well, it's funny because part of me was like, definitely just go on late and be like, Star was taking a shit, and that would be great. But your whole comedy timing of the intro was about that song.
Yes, all day we would be like, hold the show, we have to shit. But it was like, we had to, if the dancers just stopped and we weren't there, I can't think about it. I still have nightmares about it.
Oh my, I love that story so much. Also, I always say like running is a laxative, and like, cause the adrenaline. So like when you get adrenaline before the show, suddenly I'm down 5 pounds. Like I am in the bathroom shitting myself. And some of these clubs that I would do, the bathroom is not in the green room. So you have to go like out. So I would, there'd be an opener on, people coming to see me, and I'd be in the bathroom shitting myself with people being like, Hannah's in here shitting herself.
Yes. Oh my God. Yeah. And then there's, yeah, clubs where like people paid tickets to come see you, and then they just got to hear you take a shit. Like, it's just like, that's just what it
out
is.
And I was like, don't go in that one. Just don't. Just from me to you.
Also, thank you for coming.
If you listen to one thing I say tonight, don't go in that bathroom.
I keep thinking about, I've thought about this every day since you posted it, that you posted that selfie and said post poop pic. I'm like, God, I want to steal that. It's so good.
Oh my God,
it's so
steal
funny.
It. People were writing like PPP is the best.
It's so relatable. Like, yeah, I'm so skinny now. I like took this amazing selfie.
What's funny is I actually was real. Like I never talked about pooping. It was like the one thing I couldn't do. So life is about facing your fears. So I was like, I'm going to, because I felt like I looked hot that photo, and I was like, but I can't just post a hot pic, that's so boring. But I'm like, is the pic ruined if I say something about poop? And I'm like, let's see if people still think I'm hot in spite of my poop comment. But then next thing you know, poop is normalized, and you could actually poop at your boyfriend's place without having a full-on like anxiety attack and have to come up with a whole plan to go to, I mean, nowadays you can't even go to Starbucks when you're trying to poop at your guy's place because of the pandemic. So girls are out here struggling.
I mean, yeah, I just feel like so many people had to just cross that boundary in quarantine.
It's just, I don't know how it ever got to society where it became okay to pretend that girls don't poop. Like it really is not okay. When it's like, yeah, everyone, you poop, bitch. Someone's like, that's
everybody
disgusting.
Does.
And I'm like, literally you poop, and you're just jealous that your poops aren't as big as mine.
And you're not, you don't get a skinny afterwards. Yeah, it's
like
the
a post morning poop.
I know, it's amazing.
Hello, like that's why people drink coffee, I feel like. Yeah, just for that moment, and then it's all gone after I eat like one thing. Anyway, we're still doing heaven or hell, if you forgot.
Okay,
heaven or hell, licking a butthole.
Oh my gosh, I mean, I'm not doing that, so hell for me, but heaven for my butthole being licked.
Yes.
I love it. Like, get down there.
Yes.
You know?
I'm actually, yeah, I'm scared of the insertion. We're working on that. However, the lick.
Yeah, what are you guys? Where do you stand?
I mean, Dez loves his butthole licked. Loves it. And it's the point that it's like so attractive. Like, he's like, sorry that I have a better orgasm. Like, guys have prostates for a reason.
100%.
It's for,
yeah,
things and to be put up there.
With the right partner, I'm not like a germaphobe, but I would want to be like right out of the shower if I'm going to do it.
Yes.
Is that kind of
no,
your,
yeah,
role?
It's very out of the shower. I actually haven't done it that many times because like I'm a prude, but I like lost my butthole looking virginity with him.
Oh my God, I'm so proud of you guys. Yeah. So he likes to do it too.
Oh yeah. But it's like when you're 29, you don't have a lot of new sexual experiences. So it was really weird for me emotionally to be like, oh my God, like everything's different. Turns out his butthole's adorable. Like, I'm Italian. He's Irish. Like, no hair. Like, mine is like a fucking jungle. You have to get a machete. Or if I try to shave, it's just bloody and cuts everywhere because it's very hard to shave your butthole, which people don't talk about enough. And someone has, I think I might come up with a razor that's like tiny.
Well, it's but so easy to wax. Like, it's the least painful part.
True.
Like, when they get, when they're, once they're done with the front and they go back, I'm like, go, like,
it almost feels kind of good, the wax on the butthole. I'm like,
I really, I totally agree. Also, I will say, I feel like I was actually 29 when I got my butt ate for the first time. So maybe that's the magic age.
It feels like it was amazing.
Yeah. I brought this kid. I mean, he was like, he was in law school. He was like 22, 23, and it just happened. I woke up the next morning. I was like, that was new.
Also, you know what feels,
one night stand, it's a power move.
You know what feels fucking amazing? Someone licking your toe, like sucking on your toe. If you realize why a blowjob feels good,
maybe like the space in between the toes.
Okay, yeah, but even like, you know, someone might like area. Lick your finger, or, I mean, like put their, like suck on your finger. Yeah. There's a lot of nerve on your fingers. Yeah, so we're trying to find like freaky non-freaky things.
You guys have a lot of time in your hands. You know, it's like fostering dogs and eating ass. It's like all you guys really are gonna have going on.
My favorite part about eating ass, though, is when I guess he was on his stomach and I like put my, I was like doing it, but then my nose was like kind of stuck in his butt crack and I didn't know what to do. And then I couldn't breathe.
Well, I have a big nose. So it's like,
it was scary.
It would be in there, point. Like lodge.
Yeah, we lodge. But there was a thrill of it. Like, I could die. I could make him orgasm. We'll see what happens. Okay.
Really?
Heaven or hell?
Living on the edge.
This is my favorite one. Heaven or hell? Locked in a house with 10 friends for 6 weeks and you cannot leave.
No, it's hell. Hannah, you lived it. And
I remember people are literally like, oh my God, so much fun. 6 weeks. And I'm like, think of your own family locked with them for 6 weeks. Now think of people you don't actually love.
I mean, yeah, it's my best friends. Yeah, it would be great. Like, you did this on a reality show where this kind of, the point is to kind of have some drama. Like, if you, this is no shade to the Summer House crew, but if you picked that house, it wouldn't be those people. You know what I'm saying? Like, so.
Oh, speaking of, you realize you were like kind of part of the Summer House drama.
What?
The first episode. Do you remember when I wasn't invited to Lindsay's party?
Oh my God. Yes. Why was I not like putting two and two together? Because it was, you were.
And I went to watch What Happens Live and they were like, he was like, where did you go? And I was like, I went to
the best New Year's party.
It was actually,
oh my God, I couldn't. Why am I was just not putting it together, because that feels like so long ago. But I remember you saying, or Raina told me, she was like, Hannah's coming, that all that, like, the other Summer House people are doing something and like she's not going. And I was like, oh, what's the tea? But like, we had the best New Year's tea.
We had so much fun. I remember we started doing stand-up.
Yeah, you were trying out new material at 1 a.m I was roasting you. You were like holding an empty champagne bottle and you're like, so what should I talk about next? I'm like, Hannah, this is a kind of a joke. Like, it's not a real mic.
I was like, if I'm about to get some time here, we're going to make the most of it. I remember getting off and you'd be like, new material. Damn, girl. Good job. Oh my God. I forgot. Cause Andy Cohen asked me, he's like, what'd you end up doing that night? I was like, oh, I went to a house party. I wish I told him, Remy, me and you did a fucking stand-up show that night.
Yes.
At New York Comedy Club. It was so fucking fun.
Oh, your show. But that was a really great night.
Know about it is that like, it wasn't over a tweet. Like, Lindsay had yelled at me earlier and just was like, I'm not inviting you to my party. Like, it was a very deliberate thing, which she's admitted. But then Kyle goes on Watch What Happens Live and he goes, oh, crazy thing, people didn't know that Lindsay, that tickets were $10,000 each. First of all, Kyle,
to her party,
you did not spend $10,000, $20,000 for you to man, you did not. That's not true at all. It was through Tao, who Steven works for, and all the tickets were free. Granted, that's, were there like a limited amount of tickets? Probably. But it was a, like, what are you trying to say? I couldn't afford it? Or you're trying to look cool on TV?
Oh, wait, that's crazy. Yeah, maybe there was some random table that paid $10,000. But what are you talking about?
Like, maybe the tickets were $10,000. Also, anyone who pays $10,000 to go to a New Year's party in Times Square is seriously disturbed.
Delusional. I mean, there's one New Year's experience I still want when the world opens back up, and that is to eat at the Olive Garden in Times Square. But listen, I'm gonna say right now, I think it is like $500 or something. Like, it's a splurge, but that's what I would do.
The content you would get from that. No, it was more just like these, I remember feeling hurt, but then being with like, oh, I'm with these people who, like, we're not going somewhere to just be seen and like get photos taken of us. Like, we're actually having a good time and it was a great New Year's. But it's just crazy how the season starts off just like immediate. and I was, and she was mad at me, and I was like, you literally have been ignoring me and invited everyone except for
yes
me.
I know. Oh my god, I can't believe I was watching that last night, and I was just can't believe I was like a part of that. We just had the best time though. Derek Paith was there, remember?
Yeah, Derek
now
Paith.
He's just like married, he's and lives married in the woods or something.
Yeah,
I don't
good
know
for him. Dylan Palladino was there. We love Dylan on this pod.
We stan Dylan. Yeah,
your boy toy was there, I feel like. Was he?
Well,
no,
that was Super Bowl. Oh, so Super Bowl. Raina had like two epic parties back to back, and like Super Bowl was the last, like really the last like get together.
We really were getting a good like Raina's house party crew.
Yeah,
developing. Oh my God, the chemistry.
We
was
talk about Super
great
Bowl a lot. She had a good like 40 people in a one bedroom apartment. Like I was fucking somebody. You were there, Andrew Collin, Remy, like everybody. It was a time.
I also and think the New Year's. I'm pretty sure I left at like. I left like on the dot, and we were all like, okay, we have shit to do tomorrow. And we just left. And that was great.
Yeah, we like did our stand up show. Mm-hmm. And then like Raina's neighbor came down who like she didn't invite to the party. And
was it
like,
the Australian?
The guy that she was like her neighbor, she hooked up with. Yeah. But like, I remember he came down and I was like, oh, great, we don't have to clean up. Bye. And like, I just remember it being like, that's our sign to leave. And I was like, I can't believe we get to get out of here not cleaning up. Cause like now,
cause you were like, acting like a good friend, giving them space.
I will, and I'll help her clean up all day. I do it all the time. But like, I was just like, oh, now it's time for her to fuck her neighbor. So we, okay, time for
cleaning up the night of. I don't, it's too much for me. It's too much. Some people love a drunk clean.
Not really much to talk about. I mean, I was like dating and I just put the pause on that. I was like, this isn't really fun anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's cold outside. I mean, I guess now you can go like an indoor date, but if you feel comfortable, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm like DMing with somebody. It's not anything. It's just like, I've never met him. He's hot. We were just DMing.
As long as you're not snapping him.
I'm sure he would like to snap. That's his age range. But he.
That's like a thing that guys, they just go, do you have Snap? Do you have Snapchat? Like that was.
Well, so
like what?
This guy, like, I'm not going to get into too many details, mm-hmm. but he tried to kind of like sex with me a little early mm-hmm. and I didn't engage. Mm-hmm. Like I was like, I'm not gonna like get busted, like mm-hmm. you know, in I'm not gonna sex with you in the DMs. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I don't know you and I'm always down to sex, but like you're a stranger. I'm kind of a media personality, you know, I'm a yeah. person that can like needs to be careful. I can't just be out here, you know, like
you might run for president one day. You can't
exactly. I have too much of a record. But and so now we've just kind of been like this is not a thing. This is just like that's literally all I have going on.
No,
so.
But it's nice to get that attention. People don't underestimate a little like dopamine hit of attention.
It's a bump. Yes. I love that you said that. That's really like what it's about. And I'm sure this guy, and this is like no shade. I just, you know, I'm older than him. I'm sure he's used to like most girls just like leading with sex, sending nudes, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like that's kind of the vibe I get. And I think he's kind of like, oh, this is different. And he's like wanting to talk to me more, you know?
Yeah.
So
watch out because you might get stuck with a guy talking to you for 10 months and no sex. And then you're like, oh, I want to go home. Mom, can you come pick me up?
Come pick me up. I'm getting gaslit.
So anyway. Have you ever dated any narcissists?
Probably when I was like younger, but not like any like serious relationship. But I don't know. I do have like I don't tolerate like anything. Like Raina and I talk about this all the time mm-hmm. of like kind of the situation she'll find herself in. I'm kind of like, I would never get in that situation. I'm not trying to say that I'm like above it, but at, you know, at my age, I'm like, you know, in my 30s, like I put up with so much in my 20s yeah. and I just have learned a lot. And like the slightest hint of weirdness behavior, like you're hiding something, I feel like I'm being gaslit. Like I just cut it all, yeah. you know? And I have definitely gotten situations that were like really that I got hurt, you know, I got dumped, I felt rejected, but I don't really think a true narcissist. I've been cheated on. I've dated guys with tons of trauma, yeah. but the narcissism is, it's tough. And I think people kind of like, they don't exactly know what narcissism means. They think it means that you like are so vain. They confuse it with vanity and they think that you just think you're like so beautiful and you look in the mirror all the time. And it's like, it's more so that you never think you're wrong, that you just like,
yeah,
it's, you know, our former president, it's people that can never own their actions, can never take responsibility, can't ever see they're wrong in anything. And to me, like the second I get a taste of that, I'm out.
So well said. But they're like so charming and they love bombing you in the beginning. So when you like that attention, it's very easy to get stuck. And it's funny because I was doing some research on it, and they really go for girls who are like powerful and strong because like it's more of a challenge to them, and they love the vanity of being able to show you are off in public, and then like it's different in private. But it's funny because funny is not the word, but the first narcissist I dated was very like standoffish. Like he'd love bomb me, but then he would be really controlling in that like, we can only see each other on Sundays, or like, but I'm in love with you, I want to marry you. But like I never felt like he ever let me really in, and I was always feeling like neglected. But then I've dealt with the guy who's like love bombing you and like giving you all the attention all the time, like more than all my ex-boyfriends combined, but still making you feel not good enough
and like not wanted. And there's that, you know, they're just coming up with excuses of not why they won't be intimate with you and stuff like that. Yeah. And I think that, you know, you just live and learn. Like you, like for me, I dated guys that weren't great. And then I just like dated somebody that, I mean, we ended up not being great, but like really loved me, like had me, he kind of set the bar, I guess, in terms of like, this is how I'm going to be treated from here on out. And like, that's probably maybe even like Des for you, but you just, I don't know. I have like so low tolerance for any of it. And I just know all of it because of what we do for our job. Yeah. Like Rain and I have just gotten a degree, and we've been like learning this for what we knew before. We knew a lot before. That's why we started a podcast about dating and relationships. But like now we know, we've been doing this for 3 years. We've had every amazing expert on our show. Mm-hmm. We've read all the books. I mean, you read Attached and you just the book Attached and you like see this stuff from a mile away. Yeah. So it's just kind of like, that's what we've tried to do with our show.
But it's hard because I feel like a lot of the time you experiencing it is how you ultimately learn. Like sometimes like you really have to make a mistake yourself. Your friend can't be like, oh, he's not good for you. Like you have to really experience it. But I think your 20s is so important to have, like don't ever feel like it's your fault. Having those relationships literally teach you how to love. Because you go, oh, this is not love. Oh, this is bad. So then when a guy is treating you like he should, you know, like that ding comes off and you're like, this is what I'm attracted to. But yeah, my early 20s, messy, messy, messy. But I've dated some also like such great, nice guys that I was probably toxic with. So like,
yeah. And I could probably like dig into the archives and find one, but nobody that like got far down the road if we were like serious, you know.
How's your mental health right now? Like how's your anxiety? How's your depression? Where are we?
I feel pretty good. I mean, you know, like my dog passed, which is like, I mean, not to like get too heavy, but like the day we were supposed to record last time. So, which is just like a crazy thing. Like you and I were supposed to record at noon on January 8th. Yep. And I, you know, it was 11 and I was like, I can't record with you. And like, that's the day that he passed. It was like a crazy thing that was so unexpected. Well, not, I mean, I say unexpected, he had cancer. I thought he had a longer to live. He was going through treatment. It was like a not a fluke, but you know, he was old, but it was like not expected at all.
How many years had you had him?
I had had him for coming up on 12 years. Yeah. Like I had him for 11 years and 11 months. So
it's basically like the longest relationship.
Yeah. And just like truly like the love of my life, my companion, like we were like a team, you know, like that was like the true like love of my life. Yeah. And it was so awful. Like it was, and I if you guys want to hear more, like we did a whole episode on this on our podcast. Mm-hmm. Took me, you know, a month to do it even, but like we talked about all of it. We talked about what happened, how I dealt with it, but
he was family, like real, real unconditional love family.
Yes. And the void is so unbearable because you spend every minute with them. Like I was like, I have, you know, with the exception of like traveling here and there, have spent every day with this dog for 12 years. Like it's the void is like, you know, the silence is like deafening. Like it's just, it's so hard. And, it was really hard on me. You know, I got through it. I cried a lot, which I think is so important. You just have to like get that out of your body. Mm-hmm. And I just really got through it with like the help of like friends and family. I mean, I felt so supported. I like couldn't, and everybody was like going through Raina to like send me stuff. I was like, we can't take any more flowers, Raina. Tell them to send wine. Like, you got to manage this. And it was like, I was just felt so, so loved and supported. And I felt so loved and supported, which is a testament to, you know, the people that are around me in my life and the life that I built for myself with my friends and family, but like also just people love Dewey so much. Like, I think people felt such the loss on like Instagram, like, you know, so that just helped knowing that like people were supporting me. They had so much love for him. And I was just getting such incredible messages and things like that. And I said on our show, like, it's hard to feel sad when you're like wrapped up in love so much, you know, when you're just feeling love coming from every angle, like it's you're still sad, but it's harder. It's, you know, it makes it easier. So that was tough for me. And like during the pandemic too, it's like, you can't just have everybody come over to your house that night, or you can't just go do stuff. You know, you can't just pick up and take a trip. And, so it was like extra hard during the pandemic, 'cause like all I was really doing was like hanging out with my dog, you know, at home. Yeah. So and when it's cold outside, so.
Well, I think it's incredible that you had such a special dog like Dewey in your life, and that you had such an incredible connection with him, and like you guys brought each other so much joy and so much love. And like literally when you texted me, I remember just like I was teary-eyed because I love animals so much. Mm-hmm. And I also loved him. I mean, he was too hot for me. Like, he wouldn't.
Yeah.
But like,
no, he would never.
He would. I mean, he has standards. He was like,
he would never date either of us if he was a like person.
But I remember, like, obviously we weren't like as deep in it, and Des immediately was like, if she wants any hookup at Southampton Animal Shelter, if she wants a foster, if she wants anything, because it is kind of like you still will, you'll never replace Dewey, but you'll always have that, you'll still have that void of like this beautiful animal that like you're taking care of and loves you. So it's like, it's a matter of time until you find kind of a new love, which is hard, but or decide maybe you want to live your life differently and like not have the responsibility of a dog for a bit.
I mean, I just keep saying that when the like want for a dog overpowers like the not having kind of like the freedom that I have now, like then I'll get a dog. 'Cause right now I would trade it all to like be back with Dewey. Mm-hmm. Like that's all I would ever want. But like your life is different. It's a responsibility. You have more freedom. You know, like I went and stayed with a friend for afterwards, and it was like I was able to just extend my trip. You know, that's a life I never really got to live for 12 years. Yeah. You know, you just kind of like
have a
responsibility. So so it's just that life I'm kind of like gonna enjoy it for a little bit, and like not having to wake up and walk in the snow. You know, it's just it's been three blizzards in a row. Like, I can appreciate that I don't have to walk a dog three times a day and that, you know. So it's kind of, I'm just going to take a little bit of time. And I think when I'm ready to foster, but like I told you, like I'm a foster fail. I foster Dewey, you know, I was like,
well, you don't foster a dog that good looking and let him go.
Right. Like
I was walking, I'm a cat person, but I'm volunteering now at the animal shelter. So they had to teach me how to walk dogs. So I did this like dog walking class, 'cause I may or may not have dropped a leash once, and we lost a dog for a couple hours, found her, she's fine.
Girl, that was crazy. I was like, oh my God, Hannah, you guys lost the foster dog?
It was so embarrassing because like, we were like, we're fostering, we're amazing people, like she's adorable. And then they were like, you have to post on your social media for people to find. I was like, we lost our dog.
We had one job. That. I was like, oh, no.
I had one fucking job. But it's actually, these dogs from the Bahamas are like kind of feral, and they are known to run, and there'd already been like three of them that have, like, I wasn't the first person who's fostering one that had a little trouble. We're walking in Southampton Village, and it got kind of caught on like a wooden thing, and she kind of jerked and it dropped for a second, and then we both looked at her and she went pew. She ran past like all the restaurants, like 30 rich people. She got by 30 rich people and no one could catch her. We're like, how do you, it's not like we lost her in a forest. Like, we're in Southampton Village.
Yes. Oh my
and
God.
And then she ended up kind of, I guess, hiding by something, and we ended up finding her, but it was scary. So then I was like, oh my God, am I blacklisted from the shelter? That's bringing me so much joy. Like, they're like, that girl cannot, she needs her own chaperone. She needs someone to walk her. But I was like, can I take a dog walking class? I took a dog walking class. Anyway, long story short, I was walking this like Australian Shepherd that kind of looked like Dewey, not as good looking, but like kind of an ugly hot way, like kind of specks on his face. And the person, those dogs have the best personalities of just like sweetness. And his name was George. And I was like, I'm going to message her. He immediately got adopted. He was a good one. I was thinking of you. And I just think for people who love animals, working with animals in any capacity has brought me just like so much joy, because it's so easy to get in your head during quarantine. It's so easy to just like pull up my Instagram and see 10 mean messages from like moms in Iowa. So when I go when I go to when I go to the shelter and I just see these animals that kind of like need my help, I just escape for a couple hours. It's almost a form of meditation. And
100%.
So nice. So
I love it. So like, how does it work with you guys? I mean, you've had like a lot of dogs at this point. Like, is there a time commitment and then you give them back, or like how does it really work?
So Dez, his whole life, he's been traveling a lot. He's Ireland, Europe, whatever, for comedy. And he finally went to West Hampton and was like, this is where I'm quarantining. And he wanted to foster a pit bull. And he started fostering pit bulls. And some of them you foster until someone reaches out and applies, and then they get adopted. So you literally foster until they get adopted. And it's great because some of the shelters, they like don't have enough space. So you're really enabling more dogs to be taken care of. Or some of the dogs are like abused or feral, and they really need to be socialized to get adopted. So like your job is to socialize them. And then sometimes like one dog, Nina, we had her for a whole month and she got so much better, but no one was adopting her. And they were like, we have other dogs that need socializing, so we're going to take her back for a bit. And then some dogs just need a break. Like they'll be like, this dog needs a break. Like give them a week of vacation, take care of them. But we've all been dealing with like, it's like so much effort to get like tiny little breakthroughs. It's not like one day they love you. Like a lot of them have been abused and don't trust you. And I'm learning a lot. Just, I joked when I saw Dez first, like talking to his pit bull and like getting the pit bull to love him, but also kind of like telling the pit bull what to do. I was like, if he could train a pit bull, he can handle me.
100%. Like this man,
like I was so fucking turned on. I was like,
I know. Was that Lil Mama?
Actually, that was this dog Flynn who was crazy. Lil Mama, like he's so gentle with. But I'm literally a pit bull. Like I'm crazy affectionate, but I'm also just like wild and out of control at all times. So like it was just a turn on. And then together to like have a love for an animal is nice. But then I was like, I want to pet cats. Because Butter hates other cats. So we which Dez is so lucky because I would have had 8 cats in this house by now.
Yeah.
So I will go in once a week and like I'll do laundry, I'll do dishes. Dez is like, can you volunteer at our own house maybe? And I was like, ew, stop.
You're going in like reading stories to the cats.
No, I'm literally reading books to the cats.
I saw that. So my vet who helped me like through the whole everything with Dewey, her name's Dr. Lisa Littman. You probably know who's just Dr. Lisa. But her rescue is Animal Lighthouse. Mm. And then they had sent some of those. They got a bunch of Chihuahuas. And then I saw that they sent some of the Chihuahuas to Southampton.
Yes.
So I was like, wait, I know these Chihuahuas like from Puerto Rico or whatever. And I saw you guys with the Chihuahuas. I'm like, what a small world.
They have all these terrible like hoarding situations. So
the hoarding. Yeah. They got like 10 or
there was like 20 or something. Yeah. There was a crazy amount. And then 16 went to Southampton Animal Shelter, but they were like straight feral. Like they're so cute, but they were like, they wouldn't even get out of the cages. And then we were going to try to walk them, but they like didn't understand what the walking thing was. So people, if you want to foster a Chihuahua, reach out to Southampton Animal Shelter. Cause now they're looking for fosters cause they need to be socialized. But fostering is a huge part of these shelters that I was never aware of.
Yeah. So they don't even have actual shelters. Like some of them, I think Muddy Paws, I don't want to say this wrong, but I've talked to Muddy Paws a lot, but like it might be them. I don't want to get this wrong, but some of these, they don't actually have a shelter. It's just all fostering. So they need to place those dogs as soon as they get them in.
Yeah.
So,
and for our lifestyle, like we're afraid that let's say fall things start to open up. Like he's going back on tour in Ireland. I'm wherever the hell I am. So we were scared to commit to getting a dog and not being able to like give it the life we want to. So it's been just ideal for us, but It's also funny. People are like, how do you not foster fail? And I literally say, it really is like dating a fuckboy. Like, you go in and you have an emotional wall up. You know that you cannot fall for this person. And, like, there will be moments where you're like, and then you're like, Hannah, stop. I'm like, I've done this many times before. Stop. And
I need these tips.
And you really take it as, like, I want to make this dog the best possible dog as possible. And then when they are adopted to a family, like, it's the best feeling ever.
Mm-hmm. Because I thought Nina was.
Yeah,
right?
Nina finally was adopted. It took her so long. And I don't know why. She was so cute. But anyway, so it's been like a fun way of getting out of my own head, to be honest.
Yeah. They're therapy dogs. That's the thing.
They are therapy dogs. Anyway, I want to wrap up with our final game of the Seven Deadly Sins, because we've done this before, but I feel like you've been through some shit. We've been through some shit. You might have changed. Let's see where we are. Let's do a little check-in. Okay. So time for the Seven Deadly Sins.
Seven Deadly Sins.
What are you greedy about?
Probably just like my own money, like not giving it to the government.
I love that.
You know.
I love that. You should just move to Florida.
I know, girl. No, I'm happy to pay taxes, but damn, what... New York and California, we are
getting fucked.
It's why people are like, I mean, I don't know, I don't want to move to Texas, but to Florida, it's looking real nice right now
for multiple reasons. Who are you envious of?
I feel like I'm envious of like the countries that have done COVID, right? Like, I'm envious of like New Zealand and like the Cayman Islands. Like,
I literally just watched the Australian Open and they had full stadiums of watching people play because they just had like tight quarantine rules.
Yeah, my friends just got back from Singapore. It's just like kind of back to normal there. And New Zealand did a great job. So I think that's when I would feel like jealous. Like, I don't know. I read some article of like how great New Zealand did. And I was like, I actually can't read that. I'm just like too jealous. I'm just like, hey, you know.
That is such a good answer. Okay. What are you gluttonous about?
I just feel like I'm not like too overindulgent of a person. I mean, I have this wine I love and I like, it's a Barbera. I can't remember the exact Giovanni Rossi. Actually, I did remember. and I had it at a restaurant, and if I find it in a liquor store, I buy every bottle. Like, I'm like, you're out now. So I like have gone. I went to like this Italian wine merchant in Union Square, and I was like, how many? They like 6 bottles left. I'm like, I'll take them all. Like, I guess I'm hoarding it. Like, I can't even go through it all, but I'm like, it's hard to find. So I'm hoarding wine.
You've like been hustling hard your whole life to eventually be making money for yourself. Are you good at self-care? Like, what are some things that you do once you like have some money? Because I know you were on the fucking grind like for a long time without getting the checks, and now that you have some checks, like, what do you drop your money on?
I mean, it's like we're not like traveling much, but like I would have said travel, like, and I travel like just differently now. I like, you know, when I flew to Australia, I flew Delta One, which is a splurge because I can, and I just I've definitely, that's one thing I feel like I've changed, is like the, if I'm gonna go, this sounds so snobby, but it's like, I mean, I'm treating myself. It took me a long time to make this much money. I'm not always like first class or Delta One, but I'm.
But it's also a form of self-care and love to be like, I deserve this. Because it's hard to get out of the poor mentality sometimes.
Yeah. And it took me a while to realize, like, I have money in the bank. Like, that's when I moved apartments. I was like, I can afford this. Like, I felt I had this thing of like, I can't afford it. I can't afford it. And then I just was like, I can afford this. Like, a lot. Like, I can really afford this. This is not really even like me going to have to pinch pennies. Yeah. Like, so yeah. Cause I just struggled for so long, but the travel stuff. And I mean, just, I don't know. I mean, I bought myself a Peloton, like my self-care is exercise. Mm-hmm. So just stuff like that. I'm not so big on shopping. I mean, but then I'm like, also like, if I see something I like, that's really expensive, I like have to remind myself, like, I can afford that if I want it, you know what I mean? Yeah. So, but I just don't really go crazy.
I love that for you. When was the last time you experienced extreme wrath or anger? Any Instagram fights?
I feel like I do such a good job of like just not of reining it in. Like, I just
good
won't
for
ever
you.
Like fight with somebody. I've had to learn, but I do get angry. I get angry at just like people's like sheer stupidity and like taking things out of context and like not hear, like they hear what they want to hear and they actually aren't right. It's not, nothing they're saying is factual. I get like really mad. Like, maybe like when the, like those people stormed the Capitol, I felt a lot of wrath. I don't know. But I don't know, like fighting, last time I fought with somebody.
When was the last time you and Raina got into it?
Raina and I used to joke that we fight like once a quarter. and it, we really would like get into a fight, but we will have like little quick things here and there that we like work through. We have had a few like yelling fights, but like mostly on the road, which is kind of like, we had one in LA, we had one in St. Louis where we were like yelling at each other, like in a hotel room. And, but we like squash it really quickly. Like our relationship is like what I want in a romantic relationship. I know it's, you can't really compare, but the way that we communicate is like unparalleled. And I feel like we're so open and transparent with each other when we also like even need a break from each other. Yeah. Like Raina will just like, she'll kind of go off the grid for like a day. And I'm like, yeah, she needs some time apart. Even not even just for me, from anybody. Mm-hmm. She'll take like a phone break, whatever. And I don't take it personally. Like, I don't take it personally if she was like, I can't see you for a couple of days. I'd be like, girl, say it.
Because you like get her, like you understand her and you know it's not out of like malice or anything.
Yeah, because we're in like a partnership, you know, we're in a relationship. So
I feel like friendships and relationships are actually like pretty similar minus the sex part.
Yeah. And ours, like we're just, we run a business together. Yeah. We have like a child together, essentially. We disagree here and there, but geez, I mean, the last time that we really like yelled at each other was probably like end of 2019. We had this like fight in a hotel room in St. Louis. Like we were like screaming and we had a show in like 2 hours. I was like, we better make up. Like this is like, we have to go on stage.
Yeah, because people will sense that tension. Like the audience is smart. You're not, yeah, like, good one, Raina. Anyway.
Yeah, I know, exactly. And I'm like, yeah, just like roasting each other on stage.
When was the last time you let your pride or your ego get in the way of something?
Oh my God. What? These questions are like so hard.
I know.
I guess we told the story on our show, like today, like our episode today, where I guess this is, it's just like kind of a funny story, but I had like sort of booty called this guy and like who I had hooked up with, dated. So it wasn't like out, you know, but we hadn't seen each other or really talked in a couple weeks. And I was just like, you know, it was, I hadn't had sex in a while. And I was like, he was great. You know, I'll hit him up. But I hit him with a text that said, it was true. I said, I just got a bikini wax and a negative COVID test. What are you doing tonight? And he wrote back, that's the best pickup line of 2020. Like that's all he wrote. Like he thought I was like joking. And I was like,
yeah, so can I pick you up?
Right. And so I just was like, I have no recourse here. Like, I'm not going to be like, so I was serious. You know what I mean? I was like,
I would have just sent it again.
Like, I don't know if he was like lightly rejecting me. Like I just, yeah, exactly. Like just emphasized it. This is a whole story we told in our episode. Like Dylan got involved. It's a thing. So like he really didn't know. And I kind of know that he's a more clueless guy. We hadn't talked a couple weeks. I really don't think he thought like this girl wants to fuck me tonight. Like there's no way. Yeah. But like I really did. And, you know, it's probably for the best that we didn't reconnect in that way. But like looking back, like.
But it's funny how like you actually thought of an amazing pickup line and the guy still couldn't put two and two together.
And like we talked about it later, like the next day. But like in that moment, I just remember being at home that night and being like, yeah, I'm like, my pride got in the way with this. I could have easily been like, oh, it wasn't a joke. Like, do you want to come over? But I refused.
Well, it's because you really did put yourself out there. And then he said that. Yes, it's really like sending a nude and a guy being like, cute. Then you're like, now I need to ignore you for the rest of my life.
Looking good, friend. Yeah.
I'm actually so prideful with guys like that. Like even if a guy like starts a little fight with me when I don't like him that much, I'm like, and now we're done. Now we ended it. Now I can't mess with you anymore. Or I've definitely ended stuff based on things that weren't that bad. But I was like a guy just like wasn't being as responsive. And then I just like ignored him for the rest of my life. But I ultimately think that those people it's not meant to be with.
Yeah, and exactly. And I kind of like, I had felt like lightly rejected by him in the past. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I'm just not going down this road because like if that was his way of just being like, I don't want it. Like, I don't want to know about that. I'm just going to like live here in my world.
Be like, it clearly wasn't the best because I'm still dry as the desert. Yeah. I love how that's what I came up with, as dry as the Sahara.
Sahara. Or Sahara.
Thinking of Sahara life because I'm annoying. Sahara.
It might be Sahara.
Sahara. You know what?
I don't care.
Comment
it's
below.
Like Nevada, Nevada.
It's like croissant. Croissant.
Croissant.
Croissant.
Had one today.
When was the last time you lusted over someone? Like, do you have a celebrity crush you're really into right now?
I feel like I just like see hot people on the internet. Like, I will see guys on TikTok that I'm like turned on by, yeah. you know what I mean? And yeah. then I'm like, how old are they? Like, we've talked about this. You yeah. do jokes about it. I like, it's it. Kind of like,
I love posting it on our Giggly Squad account to then see, like, make everyone uncomfortable. I'm like, if I'm going to feel uncomfortable, you're all going to feel it. And then I'll see the people are like, he's so hot. And I'm like, good. I'm not that creepy.
Yeah. Lusted. I'm trying to even think of like what I like masturbated to like lately. I usually just like go dig into my own spank bank, like my own memories. But yeah, I don't know. Like I've, like I said, I've been like DMing with somebody. He's hot. Yeah. I've thought about fucking him. You're like, yeah, we'll just go with that.
Where is he now?
But I'm not going to give a name.
Is he where you are? Is he in the same state you are?
No.
Okay.
But TBD.
TBD. Ooh. So, oh my God, Ashley, you're the fucking best. To wrap this up, we have one final question because you've been through it back and forth, up and down.
Up and down.
You had sex. Anyway, what do you do to cope with your hell when you're in your dark place? What is your advice for the little devils?
Well, I try to figure out what's going on, like try to name it, you know, like I don't really have anxiety disorder, mm-hmm. you know, so I can, you just, you know, it doesn't come out of nowhere and I can't place it. Yeah. So usually I feel like I can at least like talk to my, you know, self-talk of like, what's going on? What's actually the root of this?
Yes.
And I think that's like part of it. Obviously, I think it's like become the most cliche saying, but like knowing that it's okay to not be okay. And I am just so big on like, on what's going on in your body, like the body mind connection. So
yes.
for me, like with what happened with Dewey and like even past breakups, like I just have to cry it out, scream it out, like get it out of my body before I can even start to do anything.
Yeah.
And then I really am just big on exercise. I mean, this is stuff that even I've talked about with like psychics and professionals of like, just the mind body connection is so strong for me. So like, I have to go to yoga. I have to get on the Peloton. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like almost like it's so, I don't know. It's like so healing for me. I feel like a crazy person where like, mm-hmm. I can just be like in a really dark place and I will just do 30 minutes on the Peloton and get off of it and feel like a new person. And I'm like, gosh, it really works for me. Like unlike any other, I mean, it creates dopamine or whatever, serotonin, but like, that's my thing.
But I love that you said to remember it's okay to not be okay. Cause I feel like I need to work on that for sure. As in, cause whenever I'm not happy, I'm like, okay, we have to fix it. We have to fix it. What's wrong? How do we fix it? And it's, sometimes it's like, this is called living. This is called being human.
You have to sit with it.
Yeah.
And then like lean on people. I mean, there were like, you know, one thing we talked about, I talked about this, Dr. Lisa said like the most important thing to me, I've kind of like put it into my own words, but just kind of like with Dewey passing, like grief is not linear. Like you don't really, people think you kind of go through these stages of grief, you know, it's like anger and sadness and, you know, whatever. And it's like, that's not really everybody's truth. You don't necessarily move through one phase into the next phase. Like it can come out of nowhere and it feels like you're drowning. And I think that was like so helpful for me to feel like I wasn't crazy, because there was a point where it had been 2 weeks since he had passed and it hit me again. And I was like kind of debilitated. I couldn't really work. Raina was having to pick up a lot of the slack. I was crying all the time. Mm-hmm. And we talked and like, she said that to me. And that was so helpful to me to be like, it can really just come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And you have to just kind of sit with it and work through it. And
I
was like,
you being crazy or losing.
Yes.
Your
it's
mind.
Not me being crazy. Like with grief or anxiety or whatever it is, like you shouldn't, it makes it even worse if you start, I don't know, being hard on yourself,
yep.
you know,
yep.
like, why am I feeling this? Why? Like, it's more just accepting that you're feeling like that and it's okay. And we all go through that.
100%. Oh my God. Snap, snap, snap. Ashley, where can people follow you, listen to you, watch you? Give me the goods.
Yeah. So we have a podcast. I co-hosted with Raina, who I just talked about us fighting and making up. And it's about dating, relationships and sex. It's called Girls Gotta Eat. You can find it on iTunes or Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. We have fun. It's a comedy show, but we also, you know, give what we find to be like life-changing advice. We have a lot of great experts and comedians. Hannah, you've obviously been on the show. We'll have to have you back sometime soon. Maybe you and Des together.
Oh my God.
Just putting it out there.
We would love.
Okay. We're going to do that. So look out for Hannah soon. Hannah and Des, my crush Des. And yeah, I'm on Instagram and Twitter at Ash Hess, A-S-H-H-E-S-S. That's pretty Yay. Much it.
Well, thank you guys so much for coming to hell. We love Girls Gotta Eat. We love the little devils, and I'll talk to you later. Bye.